5.
Stand by 1.
Let's go.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Good morning and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and first and foremost, I want to wish all you veterans a very happy Veterans Day. All past, present, future military, what you do doesn't go unnoticed. My hat's off to you on this amazing day that celebrates all you've done for our great nation and allows people like me to live free and do the things that that I want to do. A lot of other countries, we don't have the opportunities we have here in the United States. I think a lot of people take living in the United States for granted, take some of the freedoms and liberties that we have for granted, and I wish a lot more people would take a step back and look at how less fortunate people in other areas of the world are. Honestly, from bottom of my heart, all military, you guys are what makes this nation what we are and allows us to do the things that we do, keeps us free and gives us the great liberties and opportunities that we have. So happy Veterans Day to you. Also today, Veterans Day, there's a little video that dropped today a lot of you may know called Gymkhana 6. Really, some of the, biggest viral videos ever are the Gymkhana series. And, Ken Block pretty much coined the term viral media with the original Gymkhana. Now we're in the sixth iteration, and, they just keep getting bigger and better and badder. And, he's gone to Universal Studios. He's gone to San Francisco and taken over San Francisco. This one, basically, he builds the ultimate Gymkhana course. Debuted just about an hour ago. I was able to watch it once before it went live, and I got to tell you, for me, I love this video because it kind of takes Ken back to the roots. We got there with Hollywood and in San Francisco, and as much as I love those videos, it was all cinematic and the explosions and the locations and this really gets back to the hardcore driving roots of Gymkhana, reminiscent of, the first video, second video, and obviously in this course, as you watch it, some insane obstacles, that only Ken can create. But I got to tell you, it's more about showcasing driver skill than it is about, showcasing, how great video editing they can do. So, I got to say, out of the six Gymkhanas, I'm sure there's some Gymkhana uber fans out there, just like there are Trekkies, and they rank the Gymkhanas, Gymkhana 1 was the greatest ever, and then, 5 was, my sixth favorite, and they've got them all ranked. So I'm sure somewhere in internet land, there's somebody out there ranking them. But I got to tell you, this one, I'm not going to rank them for you, but this is definitely up there in the top. Some of the stuff he did in this car, just the car control, you got to, everybody, that's listening to the show obviously has driven a car. It's amazing what Ken's able to do in these videos, and obviously, they have multiple takes, but still, I'm looking at these, at one point, he's got these backhoes and, and I'm sorry if I'm spoiling it. Spoiler alert, right? At one point he's got these backhoes and they're up, on the buckets and he's sliding underneath them. And I'm watching this going, this is cool. And not a lot of people realize the risk, if he's smacks that, smacks the bucket with the car as he's sliding around, which he gets darn close a few times, we're talking about, what a 10,000 pound, and I don't even know what a backhoe weighs. I'm just guesstimating here. But, that's going to fall and crush the car. It really, you know, not only that, I mean, you know, the guys on the segways and stuff like that, you know, and shoot at one point, you know, and more spoilers here, but, you know, he's drifting around Lamborghinis, and I'm like, you know, he you know, one tire in the wrong spot, and he just destroys a $250,000 Lamborghini. You know, it's really, you know, when you put it into that perspective, you know, it's pretty cool. But not only that, he throws out the he throws out some steel ramps and jumping his rally car off of those. And you know, I think this is you know, I think one of the Gymkhanas he did some curb jumping or something. But this is really one of the first Gymkhanas that jumping has really taken place. So very cool. And you know, hats off to Ken for keeping to push the limits, and hats off to Ken for a heck of a week that boy's having. You know, he took his first global rallycross win there in Las Vegas. And yeah, it's been a good couple of days for Mr. Ken Block, let me tell you. Also want to make note before we get deeper in the show, we're gonna have Chris Leone calling in just a few minutes. He's gonna give us a GRC global rallycross. We're gonna kind of recap the whole season. You know, it should be a lot of fun. Then we're gonna have later on in the show Miss Courtney McCray, one of our reporters. She's gonna be calling in and giving us a lowdown on SEMA. You know, it's funny. I was in Vegas for a week, and I didn't make it to the SEMA show. You know, I worked with Global Rallycross, and I was so busy there, I didn't make it to the SEMA show. We're going to talk a little Stadium Super Trucks. Lots of Torque news. Torque making some blockbuster announcements. We're going to get into those. Baja 1000. We're going to give a full preview for the race this week. Then we're going to do a little best of GRC live radio with myself and Kate Osborne. Probably throw in a Bucky Lassick interview, maybe a Brian Deegan interview. And, yeah, we're going to have lots of stuff to talk about. And I want to tell you, we're ramping up. We're ramping everything up right now till next Monday. Next Monday, you want to tune in live to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. This week, I'm going to be making some blockbuster announcements as far as guests. And what you guys need to know, next Monday, episode number 100 of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. I got to tell you, you know, we started this thing out, and, you know, I had no idea if we were going to do one episode or 200 episodes. Here we are, you know, 2 years later. We're going to be 100 episodes in. You know, we've interviewed some of the biggest players in action motorsports, and I guarantee you next week, episode number 100, we're pulling out all the stops, and we're going to have some of the biggest names in action motorsports live on the show. It's going to be an awesome, epic show. You're definitely going to want to tune into that. Not going to want to miss it. So getting back to a little Gymkhana talk, you guys known me now, 99 shows in. I like to I like to go all over the place, so to speak. And, yeah, Gymkhana, man, Gymkhana 6. It's, you know, very cool. And, you know, let's just talk a little bit about viral media. I mean, the stuff that Ken Block has been able to do with this Gymkhana series, you know, to me, you've got so many people. He really set the bar out for viral media. I mean, you know, you've got so many people, and I'm not saying copycats, but, I mean, you know, Ken was the first. And, you know, you look at all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, even, you know, off-road fans, BJ Baldwin Recoil, you know, Polaris XP1K. You know, you've got all these videos, and they're not copycat, but, you know, they're these huge cinematic you know, motorsport, horsepower, adrenaline, you know, compilations. And, you know, it all goes back to the very first Gymkhana, you know, and it was one of those that it wasn't even supposed to be that. Ken basically, you know, when he did the first Gymkhana, he liked to practice his car control when he couldn't rally race. And he literally threw some cameras on the car, and it had a film crew out there. And they were just kind of filming him sliding around a parking lot and stuff like that. And all of a sudden they threw it up on YouTube and, you know, wham, million views. And it was like, holy crap, we've got something here. You know, and so they remixed, re-edited all kinds of Gymkhana since then. And, you know, and like we said, been San Francisco. You know, it's been to San Francisco, been to Universal Studios. I mean, been all over the world doing these Gymkhana videos. And, you know, you know, getting to know Ken, it's just, you know, it's probably one of the fun things he does. I think, you know, he looks forward to filming these videos and really raising the bar and seeing what they can do next, you know. And it's my little prediction somewhere along the lines is, you know, that we're going to have the perfect storm. And my guess is you're going to see Gymkhana in either Washington, D.C. or Gymkhana in New York City. We got good friend Chris Leone calling in from Global Rallycross. We're going to see what he thinks about that. Chris, Ken Block, Gymkhana 6. One, did you watch it this morning? Two, where do you think we're heading in the future, Washington, D.C., Boston, or New York City?
Of course I watched it this morning, Jim. It was absolutely a fantastic video. I love the fact that Ken threw it back to the roots of the sport, and it was more about just how precise he could be, how technical he could be with the driving, rather than, you know, just trying to come up with the biggest course. Obviously, San Francisco was an epic video, one of my all-time favorites, but just the technical driving was really the spotlight of this one, and I really loved it. And, of course, being a Boston guy, and I'm calling you from Boston right now, you know where I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of, I've only been to Boston once, but I'm thinking of, and I'm sure right now everybody that's tuning in is thinking of their city and going, oh, man, what if Ken came here? What could he do? But I'm thinking about Boston and just thinking about the cool locations. And not only that, but, like, the different levels, kind of like San Francisco, there was different levels, you know what I mean? And it's not a flat city, and I'm just thinking about some of the, elevation changes I know around Boston and stuff like that. I'm like, gosh, what he could do in Boston with that backdrop would just be insane.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. There's some, when I'm driving back from my home an hour north of Boston, where I grew up, and I'm heading back into the city after seeing family, some of the roads that we drive on, the elevation changes are just unreal, and they're incredibly challenging roads insofar as they're sort of beat up roads, and it'd be really interesting to see what Ken could do with a surface like that.
Yeah, he's it's one of those things, like I said, he's such an originator, and I think the very first, with all good things, I think the very first Gymkhana was kind of an accident. It sounds like, you basically was just practicing and threw, and I don't even know if they were GoPros at the time, but threw some cameras on the car and had, a crew kind of filming basically practice. It was called Gymkhana Practice, and they threw it up on YouTube, and, I think it was wham, a million views. They went, wow, we've got something here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's grown very organically over the past few years. It's really done a lot to draw attention to Ken, to his racing program, and by extension, all of the racing series in which he competes. I know at GRC we've really jumped on trying to promote this video. I mean, I set my alarm earlier than I normally do just to make sure that I woke up right as they put this on. And one of the coolest things about the video to me is the fact that, as Ken told me while we were at the track, the last thing that his GRC car did before he went off and took the victory in Vegas was he filmed the Gym 6 video. It's the exact same car. Which just, to me, is so awesome, because a lot of times you'll see, stunt driving, and you'll see things that are just built to be stunt cars. Well, this was built to be a race car, and Ken just happens to exercise his incredible driving skills in it.
Well, I think, talking about that, I just read an article on Jalopnik last night that they were out at GRC Vegas, and they talked about just, an amazing venue, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But they were talking about, most people associate rally cars with Gymkhana. I mean, good or bad, that's just what they do, because that's what they associate, because of Ken Block. And they were saying, if you're a Gymkhana fan, they said the closest thing you're ever going to get to, they called it Gymkhana Nirvana, is basically going out to Global Rallycross. And they were talking about, for fans of any kind of motorsport, here you got literally the most star-studded lineup of drivers in any form of motorsport. I mean, with Ken and Travis and Bucky and Dave and the list goes on. And, and here you can walk up, you can touch the cars, you can give the drivers a handshake. I mean, try and do that at the Formula One Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that was on my list of goals for this season was make sure that somebody from Jalopnik got out to a race, got to see firsthand just what's so cool about Global Rallycross. And we had Michael Balaban out, which was awesome. He's somebody who I've been talking to throughout the year. And, we made sure that they had the access. We made sure that they were in the stands, just seeing how many people were there and how many people just love this sport and how many people were able to go up and interact with the drivers. I know he mentioned that he was able to talk to Ken, he was able to talk to Tanner Faust, and, just the access that Global Rallycross can offer is unparalleled in any other major form of motorsport, and it's one of our key points, one of the things that we really think sets us apart, you know, from our competition in the racing world is there are a lot of sports, or there are a lot of forms of motorsport where you have the best drivers in the world. There are a lot of forms of motorsport where you can get up close to the cars and drivers. There aren't a lot of motorsports where you can do both, and we are thankfully one of the forms of motorsport where you can really do both.
Well, you can really do both, and you know, and you can really do both on another level with a caliber of athletes. You know, there's a lot of motorsports where you can go up and meet the drivers, but let's face it, you're not meeting Tanner Faust, Brian Deegan, Ken, Bucky, Travis, Dave. You know, it's I hate to say it, but I mean GRC really with the with the names involved. I mean, it's you're talking about guys that the kids grew up with, and have the posters on their wall, and basically superhero status. And, and here you are, you can go up and pretty much, see what they ate for lunch type of thing. It's insane.
Definitely. And, one of the greatest things about it is the people, the 18 to 24-year-old males who grew up playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and probably playing as Bucky Lassick can go up and they can go hang out with him and chat for 5 minutes in front of his rally car. The guys who grew up playing Dave Mira's freestyle BMX can go up and meet Dave in front of his Pro Drive Mini. It's just, it's amazing the amount of access that we can afford to these fans. And that's, like I said, it's one of our key points, and it's one of the things that we really like to focus on. You know, we don't like to think of these guys as people who should just be up on a pedestal and the fans can't interact with them or anything. They're just regular, honest, great people. And, our fans are so amazing and so supportive that they have every right to be able to go up and interact with these guys. And, it's one of the things that we love. It's one of the things that I love about working with GRC compared to any other form of motorsport I've ever encountered or worked with.
Well, and let's talk about the fans. Obviously, by now, I think the words got out, but Tanner Faust, fan favorite this year. Obviously he's got a huge, dare we say, harem of fans. But he's obviously a great ambassador for GRC, and it's awesome to see him win that award. I mean, it's what do you think? I mean, just how many votes did we get?
No doubt, and that's an interesting way to describe his fans. But we had over 30,000 votes, which was not bad for just a couple of weeks of voting. We put together the contest towards the end of the season, and we had a lot of drivers who were really pushing it. And, thanks to all those guys who were really putting it out there. I know Ken put it on his Facebook page. I know Brian Deegan put it on Instagram. I know Bryce Menzies put it on Instagram. I know Stefan Verdier really promoted the living daylights out of the thing, going all out to try and win it. And, and you can't really say enough about Tanner and just the work that he does as a brand ambassador for Global Rallycross. Tanner did a Make-A-Wish event on Thursday morning, the morning of the race, where he took some children on some ride-alongs, and we have a video on the Global Rallycross website of it, and it's incredible how awesome some of these athletes are, not just as athletes, but as people. And the fact that we've gotten Tanner to do multiple appearances like that through the year just speaks to his character and speaks to what kind of guy he is off the track.
Yeah, and I got to say, I was there and I got to see, the tail end of it, and I got to see that little girl climb out of the car. I mean, I was right there as she climbed out of the car, and the smile on her face, and there's tears in her parents' eyes, and, it gets you choked up, but, it tells you, and not just Tanner. I mean, big props to Tanner for all he does, but he's not the only, driver in the GRC paddock doing things like this. And I think GRC with the drivers, I mean, they give back probably more than, any other form of motorsport. I mean, let's look at Charlotte, for instance. I mean, a couple hours they were, signing autographs after the race, thousands and thousands of people in the line.
Oh, for sure. And we sent Tanner and Steve Arpin to a children's hospital in Atlanta. These guys, they love giving back to the community. They're such great people, and it's one of the things that, to be honest, really makes my job easy, because just about everybody is fantastic to work with. You know, they're just the drivers, they sort of recognize that there's more to life than racing, which is, you know, fantastic. They're, yeah, they could have a bad day on the track, but when they get off it, they're still going to be, you know, the same amazing people that we that you see in the autograph session, that you see just hanging around the paddock, interacting with fans. They're all great guys, and we love working with every single one of them.
Yeah, let's move forward and let's talk a little bit about the Vegas event in particular. Obviously, a couple days before race time, huge announcement coming out of you guys. Red Bull signing on a multi-year agreement to be the title sponsor of Global Rallycross. I mean, I think you know, me being there in person, I mean, everybody was just, you know, so stoked on this announcement. You know, literally a huge thing, and I think you know, seeing the facility that the Global Rallycross built in Las Vegas, I mean, it literally, I think Bucky said it best, or it was Bucky or Tanner, I think Tanner. Tanner goes, you know, it looks like an Abu Dhabi Formula One track or something right here on the Las Vegas Strip. But I think, you know, from what I understand and talking with Colin, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of this with the new Red Bull relationship.
You know, I really hope so. First of all, we can't say enough good things about Red Bull. We can't thank them enough for believing in our product, for believing in our race series, for even before signing their title sponsorship deal, for backing guys like Travis Pastrana and Bryce Menzies and Reese Millen and Carlos Sainz in Barcelona, and just all these guys that they've brought into the series that have just really improved both the racing and, you know, perception of what we are as a series. The Las Vegas track is beautiful. I heard some of our European media members nickname it Monaco, which to me is just the highest compliment. You know, growing up watching Formula One racing, Monaco was always the race that I wanted to watch, and, you know, if I ever became a driver, that I wanted to win. And, you know, you can't say enough about those grounds crews that built that track. You can't say enough about everybody on GRC staff that put that event together. You know, a couple of weeks before we actually ran the race, we were going to be in a different location. And then we decided, you know what, we found a better place to do it. We're going to do it in front of the Luxor. We're going to do it in front of the Mandalay Bay. It made for amazing racing. It made for great television. And that's the kind of product that we hope to deliver to the fans for years to come. And we think that Red Bull is certainly going to help us do that.
Yeah, you know, and talking about the racing on track, I mean, you know, we've had a lot of races this year, and I'm not going to say this was the best racing of the year, but I got to say it ranks up there in the top two or three. Obviously, you know, the big news coming out of this, and I'm looking at these right now, obviously Ken Block taking his very first Global Rallycross win ever, and then we've got Tanner Faust and Pastrana with his best result of the year. I mean, those three on the podium, that's you know, you want to talk about star power, that's some star power.
Definitely. I mean, whenever you have the three biggest names in your sport taking first, second, and third in anything, it doesn't matter what sport we're talking about. You know, that's a really huge deal. And Tomas Häkkinen had an incredible season, you know, with eight podiums in a row, and then he finished fourth in the final race of the year, and he was this close to having, you know, the sweep of the podiums in the season. But, you know, there were a lot of Travis fans out there that were really happy to finally, you know, see some good luck for that dark team. You know, Travis won his heat in Charlotte, but unfortunately, you know, he had an incident and it took him out before, you know, on the very first lap, and they couldn't get it back together before they had a chance to restart. So it was great to see, for us, especially with Red Bull on that car and with Red Bull coming in, Travis do so well. You know, Tanner unfortunately got a bit snake bit this year and wasn't able to take home any victories, but he was always competitive. You know, he always will be competitive. In his Global Rallycross career, he's missed the final all of once, ever. And as for Ken, you know, statistically the fastest driver in the series, as his team liked to promote before the race. You know, Ken only lost two heats all year. Ken was the fastest seed 4 out of 9 times, and finally, you know, it all came together with his third podium of the year, and for the first time he took the victory. And he drove a very clean race. He did a hell of a job, really, you know, getting everything out of that car. you know, and it was fantastic for us to just see the big names up top because, you know, heading into the off season, it gives us a lot of momentum to be able to promote these names and not have them, you know, have some of the bad luck that they had earlier in the year.
Well, and, you know, and I think this, you know, I'm just looking at the, you know, this final 10 here, and then obviously we've got fifth, we've got Sver in the Subaru. They've, you know, they've come a long ways. Sver done, you know, had some pretty decent results this year. And then in sixth position, the other Dodge, Bryce Menzies, the local Las Vegas boy, taking his very, you know, his best GRC finish ever. You know, and then you look down and, you know, to me, Reese Millen, great seeing Reese back in a final again and seeing the Hyundais back out on track. Lots to be excited about in Vegas.
There definitely was. You know, it's great to see that the Subaru team has made great strides over the past couple of years, both in building their cars and especially with Bucky Lassick as a driver. Bucky won our sportsmanship award in the award ceremony that we had after the race. And, you know, you can't say enough about him as a person. I know I sound like a broken record when I say that, but these guys are such great guys, and it was definitely hard to pick just one. But Bucky has been doing some incredible driving over the past year especially. He's really been focusing on that. You know, what can you say about Sver and that he's a three-time European champion, and you know he's got the skill, and you know that, you know, Vermont Sports Car putting together those Subarus is really doing everything they can to make sure that he is just as competitive as any of his rivals. And we're so happy for Bryce that Bryce was able to, you know, get it into the final and get that sixth place finish out in Vegas. Bryce had a bit of a tough year, didn't even make it to a main event until Las Vegas, but sometimes, you know, you just have that extra push in front of that hometown crowd, and with the pavement and with some of the sweeping corners, I think it really suited that Dodge Dart well.
Yeah, and I do, you know, I do want to squash any rumors. I know, you know, there's a lot of stuff floating around about, you know, the Pastrana Racing team, Travis, Bryce, and I don't know Bryce's future, but I do know Travis in the press conference, the GRC media press conference after the race. He said, you know, he is going to concentrate on more NASCAR next year, but he said, I will be making appearances driving a car in Global Rallycross. So I think, you know, that's why, you know, that's out in the open now, and he has made a commitment to run a few events in Global Rallycross. And to me, that's exciting because, you know, Travis, you know, he was one of the people that, you know, to me really brought rally to the forefront, you know, in the United States. And it's great that, you know, even though he is doing the NASCAR thing, he's got a commitment to run at least a few Global Rallycross races a year.
He absolutely was one of the pioneers in this country of making rally and then rallycross what it is today. And I'm going to be honest, I couldn't picture a Red Bull-sponsored rallycross series without the participation of Travis Pastrana. So it's really great for us that he's going to be driving in at least some events next year. We'll see what happens with the NASCAR end. I don't really have any contacts to that end to be able to give any context on what he's thinking of doing. But, you know, that being said, it's just important for us to keep Travis. It's important for us to have a guy like that who represents our new title sponsor so well and has done so for years and years and years.
Well, and let's quick hit on the GRC lights. Obviously, you know, got to say, Yanni Veeman, undefeated season. I don't think coming into the lights anybody would have pictured that. Just a tremendous effort on his part. And Eric Farron, newcomer to the series, very first lights race ever, takes a second.
Eric did an incredible job in his first race. And, you know, we really thought that guys like Eric and Sebastian Eriksson were going to give Yoni a run for his money in that final race. And they certainly did. Yoni did an amazing job. He's so well-suited to those four-wheel drive cars. What he was telling me after the race was that, you know, the power obviously is different in the supercars, but he feels like he's ready to move up, and I know that we hope he does in that, you know, you want the guy who wins the Lights Championship every year to be in a supercar the next year. You want to make sure that the ladder system works. And that's been an incredible focus for us, is making sure, well, are these guys developed enough? And I know a lot of the guys who didn't win the championship yet are saying, you know, yeah, I want to come back. I want to come back and I want to win this championship and then move up in 2015. And we'll see who moves up in 2014. I have a feeling it may be more than one guy because some of these drivers are just incredible and they've proven themselves already. But, you know, we'll see. I'm really hoping that guys who just did a couple of races this year, guys like Eric Farron, you know, come in and do the full schedule next year. I know Eric mentioned that it was one of his options, and I think after the runner-up finish, you know, I think he'll strongly be considering it.
Well, and I know, you know, talking with Mitchell DeYoung, he's pretty much already committed to coming back full-time in 2014 in a lights car. I think that's exciting. He, you know, him and Jeffrey Sykes both, I think, you know, is some of the few American drivers, you know, that you know, I don't want to say few as in all European, but such a mix of different backgrounds in this lights, you know, this lights, you know, class. But I know, you know, it's great to see Mitchell coming back. I would, you know, hope that Jeffrey Sykes coming back because I think both of them, I think, you know, started out a little slow, and by the end of the year, both of them were very, very fast.
Yeah, they definitely were. And if you've got a championship next year that comes down to guys between, you know, Sebastian and Mitchell and Jeffrey, and, you know, there are a few guys who could really win it next year if they come back. They've developed their skills so well. You know, these lights cars have really made them into better drivers, which is exactly what Andreas Ericsson's goal was, make sure these guys are ready for supercars. That's why four-wheel drive cars, you know, and we had over two dozen, I think it was, drivers sign up to test the GRC lights the day after we awarded the championship. There were a lot of guys there from some incredibly different backgrounds. We had Indy Lights drivers. We had sports car drivers. Two of my instructors from when I went to Dirtfish in June, Brenton Kelly and Winston DeWart, were actually there, so it was fun catching up with them. But I think the Light Series just has such a bright future. There are so many great drivers who are looking to come into that and use that as the launch pad for, you know, future careers at the upper echelon of Rallycross.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and that was what I was going to touch on next, the lights test that they had out there. I know you were out there. I had to leave. I didn't, you know, have a chance to get out there. But sounds like, you know, and I know that the pricing really wasn't cheap to do that lights test. And they still had a packed house, and these were people that were somewhat committed to possibly running a lights program in 2014, and you know that's exciting to me, and you know, and I know, you know, even Ken Block, his personal trainer Kit Cope, he posted up on Instagram after that, you know, Kit tested one and hopes that he can run a car next year, and you know, I think the diversity in the lights class and really the buzz that it's got in motorsports world, I mean, it's, if you're, you know, a young up and coming driver, it's kind of become the place to be.
Definitely. I talked to Kit while I was there, and he sounded really optimistic. He said, you know, my first test didn't go so great, and there were some things that I had to work on, but, you know, I'm learning it. And knowing Kit and just knowing the way that he lives life and knowing the way that he commits to things, I think that if they can get Kit in a Hoonigan B car next year, you know, with a light seat, that he'll get really good really quickly. There were so many drivers there who already had a lot of a great background that were just taking those cars out for a spin for the very first time. We posted the list on Twitter the day of, and you know, there's so much talent that wants to come to Rallycross right now. It seems like it's quickly becoming the place to be in motorsports. We're building our own courses now, you know, as we did in Vegas. We're putting together a development ladder that really is intent first and foremost on sending guys up to supercars. And it's a problem that NASCAR has had a bit in sending guys up the ladder. It's a problem that IndyCar has certainly had, and it's a problem that we want to be proactive in avoiding. And by creating this lights class and by doing everything we can to get as many drivers as we possibly can in those cars, you know, we're doing everything we can to make sure that the pipeline is always fully stocked with great future Rallycross superstars and champions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just the you know, really the you know, the motorsports personalities and drivers that were walking around the paddock area. I mean, you know, we're talking, you know, Vaughn Gittin Jr., you know, Ryan Turk, You know, that's they're on the drift side of things. I know that you know, Townsend Bell obviously was there, and he, you know, he had a one-off appearance this year, and I know he'd like to come back, you know, in a bigger capacity next year. And you know, I know sometime in the next month we'll be announcing this, but you know, there's a top-level female talent that's planning on running a supercar next year. So I think you know, all guns are you know, ablaze for Global Rallycross for 2014.
Definitely. And, you know, just some of the names that we've heard flying around, obviously I can't really shed light on them yet because it's a little too early in the process, but there are some, there are just some incredible talents that really want to get into this sport. It doesn't matter what level, it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's supercar or lights, and it doesn't matter whether it's a full season or just a couple of races. They just, they really want to be here. They really think this is the place to be. And that's all we can ask for as a racing series. You know, we just, we want to create something that every driver on the planet, you know, when they're racing go-karts as a 7 or 8 year old, says from that point forward, I want to be a Global Rallycross driver. I want to be somebody who wins the championship in Global Rallycross. I want to do this over Formula One or over NASCAR or over IndyCar. We want to be the greatest racing series in the world, as every racing series does. But, you know, we're going to put together something that people just can't resist, that people really, really always want to watch.
Yep. Oh, I appreciate you taking the time, Chris. We got to cut to a break. But, yeah, I mean, we're now in the off season. Obviously, I know GRC has said sometime in the next hopefully month or two, I think the 2014 schedule is going to be announced. Lots of big announcements. Where can they follow Global Rallycross at?
You can check out our website at global-rallycross.com, at facebook.com/globalrallycross. Twitter or Instagram handles are at globalrallyx.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air. It's been a hell of a 2013 season. I'm already looking forward to 2014, buddy.
Thanks, Jim. I want to say thank you to all the veterans out there for serving our country.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris.
Have a good one, Jim.
All right. That was Chris Leone with Global Rallycross, social media manager, content manager for their website. And I like to call him my Global Rallycross guru. You know, when I'm doing some of the announcing for Global Rallycross, he's right there in the booth with me and feeding me info and helping me stay on point. He's a good guy, and you can also follow his personal handle on Twitter. He didn't throw that in because that's not not his style, but it's at Christopher Lyon, Christopher L-I-O-N. So give him a follow. Lots of good stuff coming out of him. We're going to take a short break when we come back. When we come back, we're going to have Courtney McCray with Poison Spider Customs. She was out at SEMA, watched the Stadium Super Trucks demo, walked around the SEMA grounds. She's going to give us a full report on SEMA and really what is a great exhibition from what I understand from out front of the SEMA show. So stay tuned. And later on in the show, we're going to have Baja 1000 preview, lots of torque news, some Stadium Super Trucks results, and a whole lot more.
Companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are Hans compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe.
All right, here it is straight up. Ford F-Series is the number one brand of trucks in every industry. Construction, farming, forestry, metal mining, landscaping, heavy hauling, oil and gas, you name it, they own it. So it shouldn't come as a big shock that F-Series is also the best-selling brand of trucks for 36 years in a row. They're the most capable pickups. So no matter what the job, no matter what the industry, these are the trucks the guys who do the hardest work depend on. These are America's number one trucks for 36 straight years. Ford F-150, Ford Super Duty. Own it, baby. Built Ford tough.
Based on Polk U.S. light duty pickups under 8,500 pounds GVWR, combined new registrations January 11 to May 12 within 14 locations. And U.S. heavy duty pickup and class 2 to 5 conventional chassis cab combined new registrations January 11 to June 12 within 21 locations. Class is full size pickups versus 2012-2013 competitors. Best in class maximum payload towing GVWR and GCWR when properly equipped.
The number one Michael Jackson tribute show in the world comes to Blue Water Resort and Casino Saturday, November 16th, direct from Vegas. MJ Live, a tribute to Michael Jackson, features all his biggest hits. Relive the energy, excitement, spectacle, and pure joy of this legendary superstar. And his music with awesome sound, lighting, and effects. Feel the energy of the mega-talented MJ Live dancers while you sing along to some of the greatest hits of all time. MJ Live, a tribute to Michael Jackson, Saturday, November 16th. General admission tickets $12, VIP just $25. Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
KC Highlights is the worldwide leader in off-road and auxiliary lighting since 1970. KC Highlights is all about quality. Their lights are built tough to last. Inside and out, KC has never accepted anything less than the highest quality materials and workmanship for their products. This drive for perfection has produced some of the most revolutionary products in the industry today, such as the full carbon fiber HID KC Pod, a first of its kind. For more information on the full line of KC Highlights products, like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, and visit them on the web at www.kchighlights.com.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver. Just got done with Chris Leone of Global Rallycross Series, helping me kind of recap the 2013 season and looking forward to 2014. We'll give you a quick rundown of the results. The GRC Lights, Yanni Wieman, 6-for-6 this year, finished first. Undefeated season, your season champion. Eric Farron finishing in second, Sebastian Erickson third, Austin Dine fourth. Mitchell DeYoung, fifth, Kevin Erickson, sixth, Alexander Westland, seventh, and Jeffrey Sykes in your eighth spot. GRC Supercars had Ken Block taking the win. First ever in GRC competition, Tanner Faust in second, Travis Pastrana, third, Tomas Topi Häkkinen in fourth, Sver Isaacson in fifth, Bryce Menzies, local boy, taking on the sixth spot, Patrick Sandell in seventh, Steve Arpin, eighth, Scott Speed, ninth, and Reese Millen rounding out your tenth spot. Looks like Reese will be back next year, full-time is what the rumor is floating around the paddock area. I think that's pretty exciting for the series. Anytime you've got a guy with Reese's Rally, drift background, Pikes Peak background, he brings a lot from a driver standpoint and a marketing standpoint to the series. That's pretty exciting. So, yeah, SEMA, obviously, we've been talking Global Rallycross, but SEMA is really what's happening in Vegas that week. Obviously, Global Rallycross, Stadium Super Trucks, they come in and put on their events to tie in with the largest automotive, show in the world. But SEMA, yeah, talk about a major, major event. And I got to apologize. I had passes to SEMA. I was so busy with Global Rallycross, I didn't even make it to the show. My pass went unused. That's why here in a few short minutes, we're going to have Courtney McRae of Poison Spider Customs. She's going to be calling in. She's going to give us the lowdown on what happened at the SEMA show, all the new products, some of the crazy vehicles, and really what happened at this Ford out front that's become this huge demonstration area. You've got guys like Vaughn Gittin Jr. drifting, Brian Deegan. I know he was thrashing on a stock Raptor, just jumping it and pretty much demolished the thing. Ken Block doing demo rides. I think Ryan Turk was out there doing demo rides. Robbie Gordon put on a Stadium Super Trucks demo, and it looked like I think Robbie Gordon, Kyle LaDuke, B.J. Baldwin, and Twitch All four kind of went and bashed and battled out there, you know, at the Ford Out Front Arena in their stadium super trucks. I know Courtney was there firsthand. She caught all the action. And I got to say, you know, looking at some of the pictures online, some of these show vehicles, you know, if you've got a favorite that you saw online from all the pictures, and trust me, there's a ton of media outlets of a show vehicle, the wildest, craziest creation, throw it up on Instagram, throw it up on Twitter, tag me. I'd like to see it. I want to know what you guys think was the craziest vehicle or creation, you know, at SEMA. I got to tell you, there was some pretty, pretty wild stuff. And I know at one point, I mean, you know, you go in and, you know, there's B.J. Baldwin's truck hanging from the ceiling and, you know, all kinds of pure shenanigans and craziness. So, yeah, it's, you know, SEMA show is always a wild one. And, you know, it's, I don't know, it's become, you know, it started out, and I've told people this before with SEMA, you know, it started out and it was going to be, you know, it's business to business and, you know, and people are going to, you know, do business and work these deals for the next year and see the new products, and they're going to purchase them for their thing. And I'm not saying that goes on, but SEMA has become, you know, literally, I think, a company right off to party for a week. It's my honest to goodness take. I mean, every night there's multiple parties, just absolutely insane parties going on at SEMA. You know, everybody's walking around the show hungover. When you're hungover, you're not doing any business. I don't care who you are. You're not doing business. And it's, you know, to me, it's just almost comedy. You know, it's literally these guys, you know, the corporate Americans say, hey, you know, I'm going to go to SEMA. I'm going to do some business. And, you know, and basically the company sends them there for a week. All they do is, you know, get drunk and trashed and party on the company dime and, you know, and look at cool cars and global rallycross. So, you know, to me, that's it's kind of comedy the way that's worked out. But it looks like we've got Courtney calling in, and we'll see what she has to say. Welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, Courtney. How's everything going?
Doing pretty well. How are things going with you, Jim?
Pretty good. I was just talking about SEMA in my view, and you wear multiple hats, so we're going to get your view on SEMA. But I've come to realize in the past couple of years that, you know, SEMA is supposed to be this huge business to business show where people do business, and I think a lot of times, corporate America, these executives and whatnot, and these marketing people have learned, you know, hey, this is a show. We can go to SEMA and party for a week and basically get the company to foot the bill and write it off.
It's kind of true. It's kind of funny that you mentioned that because I've been going to SEMA since I turned 21, so this is my fifth year. And we've kind of noticed here amongst the poison spider itself and my family also that the stuff that goes on after hours is almost just as important as the stuff that goes on during the show. And a lot of times more business actually gets handled at the bar than it does at the show when there's thousands and thousands of people trying to talk to you. So for as much as some people think it's just a big party, it kind of is one big business week though too at the same time. So these companies aren't totally wrong if they're writing it off to marketing and whatnot.
Yeah, but I can attest to that because, you know, I didn't even actually make it to the SEMA show, but I did run into people that I needed to talk to at the show after hours at, you know, at the hotel bar. And, you know,
exactly.
And I, you know, got some stuff accomplished. And it's funny because it's low-key. There's not, you know, a million people standing there with their marketing deck wanting you to sponsor them. And you know,
exactly.
It's, you know, I can understand that. I get you. I feel you. So let's talk a little bit about SEMA. Obviously, you had a chance to walk the buildings. Anything stand out in your mind that you saw that was kind of absolutely insane? Because we know we've got both form and function at SEMA, and sometimes I think form takes over than actual function.
And it's funny, you know, I was just talking about that this morning with my dad. We noticed, I mean, this year it seems like for whatever reason, delivery trucks were a theme, or like delivery vans or so weird to me, but there was a pimped out lowrider FedEx truck that I would have to say is probably the talk of the entire SEMA show. I don't even know whose vehicle it was. It may have been FedEx themselves, but this thing was outstanding, and I'm sure you probably saw pictures of it. It seemed like it was one of the most photographed things of the show, but obviously, like you said, definitely way more form than function to this vehicle, and with every vehicle there. I mean, everything that is built for SEMA is typically built to be flashy and draw in attention, not necessarily to work well. So there was tons of huge lifted Brophy trucks and just totally overdone Jeeps and I mean, cars that are just outstanding and blingy and beautiful, but most of the time I highly doubt anyone would ever actually drive any of these things on the street, if they even work on the street. So that's SEMA, basically. I mean, every year it's just a flashy bling fest, but there's some pretty outstanding things to look at, so you can't hate it.
Yeah. Well, and I know you guys were there, obviously, you know, from a business standpoint. Any new off-road products or anything, you know, product-wise, you know, in, you know, that caught your eye that you didn't know was coming out, or that you did and you got to see them and it was like, wow, that's pretty cool?
The only company that I would say that I saw just an outstanding amount of new products from is Rigid. Rigid Industries, a lighting company, and I obviously kind of already had an in on some of the things that they were coming out with, but I think nowadays with the Off-Road Expo being just a month before SEMA, I think the Expo kind of takes away some of the excitement of the Off-Road Hall. I think most of the time these companies, at least in the Off-Road Hall, are more excited to get their product out for the Off-Road Expo, because that's really where that niche of the market shines. So I think that hall is kind of not gone downhill, but I think it's shrinking as the show goes on, whereas, I mean, some of the other halls are still just immaculate and huge, but I don't think any of these other niche halls necessarily have another show that is just for them like we have in the off-road market. So, I mean, there's still a few things, or, like, at least they might still display the products as new products, but I think a lot of the stuff does come out in time for Expo nowadays versus in time for SEMA. So kind of yes and no on that end right there.
Well, let's, you know, and I know, you know, obviously they've got the Ford out front. They're doing demonstrations all week long. I know you made it out there and, you know, got to watch the Stadium Super Trucks and see BJ and Robbie and Kyle and the boys all kind of bash their trucks in. How was that?
It was pretty fun. I mean, besides testing their trucks earlier in the week, I'm pretty sure that it was the first time that BJ, Kyle, and Robbie have – or not Robbie – which have ever actually gotten to drive one of those trucks in more than just a testing environment. So it was pretty exciting to see them just get out there and go all out and have a blast with it. I would definitely say Kyle LeDuc needs to be driving one of those on a daily basis, or he needs to be in a monster truck based on the moves he was pulling out there on the track. But it was pretty cool to watch. It was pretty funny to watch. You can see where some of them shined and where some of the obstacles that some of them just did not want to go near. And you could see it as a trend on every single lap that they did. But, I mean, they all had their strong points and they all had the parts that they just did not do so well at. But all in all, it was a pretty fun event. You had some of the top drivers out there in some of the most awesome built trucks. So there was no way it could have gone wrong.
Yeah, for sure. So, couple questions. What was your favorite vehicle of the show?
Of the SEMA show?
Yeah, that you saw.
I honestly took a huge liking to the JGR Motorsports build that they did for the Toyota Dream Build. That truck was pretty outstanding. They had, I mean, it was fully built to basically live out of in Baja, so it was immaculate. There was TV screens all around, but then there was like a full camper that you could live out of basically in the back. Somehow, some way, they were able to store a dirt bike in there, too. So it was pretty crazy. But, I mean, that's just the off-road chick in me. And none of the flashy Lamborghinis or anything like that stand out to me for whatever reason. So I'm just weird like that, I guess.
All right. And before we let you go, I know you went to a few after parties and you were at SEMA. Give us a list, a couple of celebrities that you were able to see or meet.
Let's see. I got to see a few performances on Wednesday and Friday night, but I would have to say the party that we went to on Thursday night, I got to meet Sir Mix-a-Lot, Johnny Richter, and there was also Mickey Avalon in the mix at the party we were at on Thursday night. So pretty exciting. None of them are motorsports dudes, but they're all huge celebrities in my eyes, so pretty cool.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, that's throwing it back a little bit. That's pretty cool to see him actually.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to call in and give us kind of a SEMA update. Courtney, where can we find out more information on you and Poison Spider as well?
You can check out our website, poisonspider.com, and we're also on Facebook, which is just facebook.com/poisonspider, and all of our updates about both the company and our personal stuff are typically posted on there. So check them out.
All right. Awesome. Well, hopefully hopefully you and Big Lars are recovering from SEMA well, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Sounds great, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Courtney.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right. That was Courtney McCray with Poison Spider Customs. Calling in, giving us a little update on SEMA, and she didn't give you her personal info as well, so I'm going to throw it out there for you. Her Twitter handle, it's Courtney_McCray, at Courtney_McCray, so yeah, give her a follow. She's all over the place. The girl goes to more events than I think I do, so yeah, she's one of the busiest people in motorsports and Poison Spider Customs. I mean, if you're into Jeeps, rock crawling, King of the Hammers Racers, you know, that's your ticket. You know, they make some amazing products, amazing race cars, and they got a pretty cool line of swag, too, I got to say. So, yeah, you want to check them out at poisonspiderwithay.com. All right. So, yeah, man, we've got the GRC over. We've got SEMA over. And next up, yeah, another event happened as the SEMA show was rolling on Friday night. We had Stadium Super Trucks, the finale. Was in action in Las Vegas. What I understand, it was a pretty short track. From what I understand, it was under 1,000 feet. So we're talking about a really, really tight, twisty track. Had some big ramps, I guess. Truck's got a lot of air. You know, it took I believe, 23 seconds to get around 23 seconds to get around the course. So, yeah, it's, you know, obviously a tight, twisty track that only takes 23 seconds to get around. But got to say, looks like, you know, a surprise, a little bit of a surprise winner. I don't know if it's a huge surprise to anybody, but P.J. Jones taking the win, followed up by Robbie Gordon. Scotty Steele, talk about a young gun coming on strong. Scotty Steele taking a podium. We had Jarrett Brooks in fourth, Ari Lyandike Jr. coming back to Stadium Super Trucks in fifth, Rob McCaffrey in sixth. Him and Robbie, don't forget, had a tremendous points battle going on into the finale. Rob McCaffrey had mechanical problems, dropping him back to sixth position, which allowed Robbie Gordon to take the inaugural Stadium Super Trucks Championship. We had Sheldon Creed, the prodigy, in seventh. Craig Potts in eighth, Keegan Kincaid in ninth, and Kyle LeDuc rounding out your top ten. Kyle not having a good final, but I got to tell you, he was lightning fast. And it was a 30-lap main event. Talk about insane. It was, yeah, it sounds just like it was pretty darn wild. Got to say, it looks like Keegan Kincaid made an appearance as well. Well, I'm sorry. I'm getting tongue-tied here. Yeah, Keegan Kincaid making his, I believe, I don't know if it's his maiden GRC appearance or I'm sorry, Stadium Super Trucks appearance or not, but looked like he was your fast qualifier. So obviously not having a lot of luck in the final, but yeah, I think Keegan Kincaid, that's one that would be fun to see come back in the series next year. You know, and at this point, I don't think. You know, I don't. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think the offseason, time will tell about Stadium Super Trucks. Obviously, they're wrapping it up. Robbie Gordon, your points champ. Rob McCaffrey in second. Justin Lofton in third. We had P.J. Jones in fourth. Sheldon Creed in fifth. But you know, I think the big offseason, you know, we've had such a diverse group of tracks for Stadium Super Trucks. Obviously, you know, running the stadium. You know, at Qualcomm. St. Louis and Phoenix, you know, the Coliseum, you know, it had those amazing stadium tracks. We ran, you know, they ran with the, ran in Toronto with the Indy cars, ran at the Long Beach Grand Prix with the Indy cars, you know, and then ran at Crandon, you know, and then had, the, you know, this event that was predominantly asphalt at Caesars. They also had the track of the SanSport Super Show tying in with, you know, with a trade show. So it's going to be interesting. You know, there's all these diverse group of tracks. You know, I think that the trucks themselves are just beasts. Very, very durable. I know, you know, Robbie Gordon in the final, I believe it was in the final, actually rolled his truck and went back on its wheels, and he literally lost a half a second tops. You know, just pretty crazy, to be honest with you. So, you know, the trucks and I think the quality of the vehicles are there. I think it's just fine-tuning a schedule that works and that gets fans there and that's, you know, cost-effective for the series. I don't know. I think this off-season it's going to be real telling to see what happens for 2014 with stadium super trucks. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to have a little best of GRC Live Radio with Brian Deegan, Bucky Lassick. Then we're going to get into some huge torque news. I mean, absolutely blockbuster torque news in the off season, and we're going to get Baja 1000 preview. So stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink.
Some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
There's only one.
Wynonna.
Wynonna Judd live at the Blue Water Amphitheater.
No one else on earth.
Don't miss Wynonna and the Big Noise live Saturday, January 25th. Performing music from her solo career and hits from her days with the Judds.
Mama, he's crazy.
Tickets are $50 general admission or $75 for VIP. Gates open at 2. Show starts at 4 p.m. January 25th and only at Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker, Arizona.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. We just got done with Courtney McCray of Poison Spider Customs. Give us a lowdown on the SEMA show. We had Chris Leone of the Global Rallycross Series on air earlier in the show. And now we're going to get to a few short interviews, best of GRC live radio. And then we're going to be talking all kinds of torque. And let me tell you, I'm excited about the torque series for 2014. Talk about some blockbuster, huge mega announcements. We're definitely going to get to those, but first, we're going to get to a couple short interviews with Bucky Lassick and Brian Deegan. So here's Brian Deegan on GRC Live Radio with Jim Beaver and Kate Osborne. Got the General Brian Deegan sitting down here for a second for an interview. Probably one of the most popular drivers in the paddock, I would be willing to say, wouldn't you, Kate?
By far.
Yeah.
Okay, then. No, I would have to say so, too. I've been trying to grab him for media stuff for the last week, and he has been on, I don't know, you've been a rock star.
You're like FEMA superhero status right now, right?
Cost, money, you know?
Yeah. How has the week been? I mean, FEMA yesterday, you're at the track today. What's been going on?
It's been busy, you know. FEMA is always, people are like, oh, man, are you bummed you have to do all these signings and all these meetings? It's like, no, I look forward to FEMA. I look forward to business in this industry, and I love it. You know, people always say about racing and competition. I look at business the same way, and I see it as a competition, and I want to be better than the other guys and beat them in business. And that's why I see the week of SEMA as a good time to go out and do business. And then racing on the side's always fun too, right?
Yeah, no,
I come I come over here and do a business, and you end up racing rally cars.
Well, and speaking, and speaking of business, I mean, we've got a lot of guys in the paddock. I mean, obviously Ken and Tanner and Travis. You're the only one I know of with their own line of tires.
That's right. You know.
That was such a sneaky little laugh. Over
yeah. I did. I know you really sit down and think about it, and I made a great partnership with Mickey Thompson. And I, you know, I was with a different tire company for a while there, and we talked about doing tires, and they just said they couldn't do it. And I was at SEMA last year, and I was walking by Mickey Thompson, and they had such good history of off-road. I just walked by, and said, "Hey guys," introduced myself. Next thing you know, a year later, I have a signature tire with them, and so cool. Like you look at the history of signature tires, not many guys had them. You know, there's Walker Evans, Ivan Stewart. You know, the guys, Mickey Thompson, the iconic names of off-road
Farnelli
racing.
Farnelli Jones, I think.
Farnelli Jones, you know. I would be happy just to be half of those names, you know, when I retire one day and have a name, iconic name in off-road. But, yeah, you know, that's one thing, and rally's a whole nother world. And, you know, I'm stoked to come in here. This is the hardest thing I do, rally cars. You know, the guys
is it
are
really?
Fat. Oh, yeah. By far, I've been able to pretty much, you know, get to the top, study, figure out how to win at every other sport and be able to master it. And rally's been the hardest thing, you know. It's for me, it's been hard to master, and you know, I think a lot of things go into it. I own my own team in off road. I there's no expense spared there. I spend every dollar on getting faster, and I think that's where this is going to go. You know, I'm going to have to figure out how to really develop and spend more time testing and getting faster and faster. You know, I feel like the sport is growing, and now seeing the future that I need to invest more time into it.
Yeah, well, I can see how that would be absolutely the case. It was interesting. I got a chance to see you at the off-road race in Lake Elsinore.
Yeah.
And that was really, really, like, freaking cool race. Actually, it was really cool to see you and Bryce in a totally different element.
Yeah.
And I always wondered, like, what that would be like, taking that and bringing it into the GRC world. I mean, it is totally different.
It is. And I personally would like to see a combination there. It'd be cool if the rally cars could race. You know, those tracks,
know.
The jumps are a little too big. The suspension.
Those would hit
these
a little
cars
hard.
Have a little less suspension. But I feel like the more jumps, the better. The more dirt, the better. It's better racing. Makes for more mistakes. When you have pavement racing, it's all thousands. It's just a little fraction here or there. When you add dirt, gravel, rocks, jumps, then you're starting to build elements into this race. And, you know, I think that's where hopefully next year we can get some more of that implemented in rallying.
Well,
yeah.
And how is it, you know, on a track like this that's got, you know, a lot of asphalt? I mean, you know, you're a dirt background.
Yeah.
Whether it be, you know, dirt bikes, off-road trucks, you know, and you come in here and, you know, asphalt, you know, and you've got guys, you know, with some pavement background throwing down some good, you know, some fast laps. How have you adapted?
Well, the whole different outlook on pavement is you have to slow down to go fast. You know, that's the typical pavement racer, and that's why you see the pavement racers wear, you know, button-up shirts with collars, you know. they're just a little, you know, on the more mellow side, I think. And the dirt racers are the aggro dudes that are like the cut-off sleeve dudes that are in here ripping it. But so anyway, that's just my outlook. And road racing is such a finesse driving sport, and here today, I'm going to be honest, I showed up here, this isn't my track, this isn't the spot where I shine, but it's a challenge. For me, I'm like, all right, time to learn, time to get better, study the fast guys, and, you know, we qualified, I think it was in the top five, so I think we're adapting quick, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of curious what your battle will be. You always talk about a battle you have. What's your battle?
I think the battle is probably with this dude sitting right here, you know. No,
that would be Tanner.
Yeah, Tanner.
Tanner Faust, who just sat down.
Yeah, last year we had a pretty good battle for the championship. You know, this year that's already handled. And, you know, so we're going to battle for some points. Who can claim second or third, which I don't know if that's even a challenge. You can even claim that as a battle. But in the end, you know, Tanner's one of the fastest guys here, and I look at it like, hey, there's going to be a handful of guys that are all within a thousandth and are really fast. It's all going to be the start and who doesn't get pushed off and saving your tires. There's a lot of elements here today that are going to, or tomorrow, that are going to go into the race.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Real quickly, what was it like with the fans here today? Good fan base.
It was cool. I was surprised, you know, just for practice and, you know, a little seating deal. It's a lot of fans showed up, and I think, how do you beat this roster of drivers? You know, you have no other sport has these names, you know, that of marketing power that this sport does. And, you know, it draws all the, you know, younger crowd, which automotive needs. It needs that younger crowd.
Right.
And I think this sport of all sports drives in the youngest crowd of you know, spectators. So it's, I think that's the strongest marketing value you can have, and tomorrow it's going to be big. A lot of heavy hitters from SEMA will come over, and that's where it's at, like getting these players to come over, invest in the series, and it could be at a better location.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
It's just a beautiful backdrop, and I think the fans are going to come out in force tomorrow.
Yeah,
so.
For
absolutely.
Sure.
And if you're in the Vegas area, make sure you do come on by. Tickets are still available.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you get over here before you really, start partying and get drunk. You can at least stop by here and say what's up around 5 p.m.
Or you can still.
Shouldn't be too hammered
by
then,
say,
I think.
If you are hammered,
yeah.
Come on over anyway.
Come over anyway. It's entertaining.
Well, great. Thank you, Brian, for the time over here. I know we pulled you from the autograph, so
it's
all good.
That.
Yeah, I'm sure there's still a lot of fans that want to snag your autograph, so we'll let you go and get some rest for the big race tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
thank
you, Brian.
Later.
All right, that was Brian Deegan on GRC Live Radio with myself and Kate Osborne. Just I love getting Brian, especially when you're there in the flesh, and he doesn't pull any punches, man. It's you never know what you're going to get with Brian Deegan, but the one thing you do know that you're going to get is 100% pure honesty, and that's what I love about the guy. And the funny thing is great family man. He got done there and immediately jetted back to be with his kids for one of his kids obligations. And I've in the past year I've earned a lot of respect for the guy because not only is he a businessman, he's a hell of a race car driver, but he's it's all about family to him. And just a good, deep down, just a good person. But we got Bucky Lassick on GRC Live Radio with myself and Kate Osborne. We're going to do cut to this short interview with Bucky. When we come back, it's all about torque. All right. As Tanner walks away, we've got Bucky Lassick, also somebody that was very fast today. He had a couple of great, pretty good qualifying run. Looked pretty strong in the heat races. What do you think, Bucky?
I think that I think we've come a long way. Me as a driver, team as a car, it's like a perfect little happy meeting place here at SEMA.
Yeah, it seems that way. I think that it's interesting to hear what the drivers have to say about that. I think even the industry people here, I think people are finding that little happy medium right now, which is awesome.
It just sucks it's at the end of the season.
Yeah, I know, right?
But
yeah.
it makes a good 2014. It makes, it gives the team some hope. We haven't had a race yet. I'm already speaking like I won it, but
and Bucky over here,
it's not bad.
Riding
yeah. I'm just saying the potential is there. To qualify first out of the non-Ford cars,
yeah.
That's big.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I usually race better anyway than qualifying, so I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
What do you think for you personally after being on the track is going to be the toughest element of the track or the strategy or what is it?
The toughest thing for us that we're kind of battling is some of the tight turns. We can't get around these tight turns unless we use the handbrake. So trying to dial the car in so where the car turns in a little bit better under these tight hairpins. And so we don't have to light up the tires because tires, big, big thing here, managing those, what Tanner said. So our cars are a little bit longer wheelbase, so it's been a good battle for us to get the cars to turn in these tight turns, and it's working.
Yeah.
And you're one. I mean, I know obviously you do a lot of training. I know you've been up to Dirtfish and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You also Formula cars. How's that helping you on a track like this? It's a lot of asphalt.
I've always been a tarmac guy. I should have been racing in Grand Am years ago, but I just never could do it with focusing on skateboarding. And now where I'm at in motorsports with the opportunity to drive for Subaru and Rallycross, it's awesome. Open wheel car. This year was the first time I've ever been in one besides like going through Skip Barber and doing all that. World Motorsports up there in Sonoma, they hosted me one race weekend. I did good in the car. And then turned it around and got some podiums in it and won the national championship, actually. Pretty insane. Two times in the car.
That's pretty insane, actually.
Yeah, that is nuts. So, yeah.
It helps. It helps. Back to your question. Left foot braking is the biggest thing I've learned in rallycross and doing the open wheel for the first time at that level.
Yeah.
It helped with my pressures.
I just have a random question with your past. Like, is your... Okay, so are you one of those, like, daredevil-y kind of person? Would you be someone who you would want to do just badass, like, crazy I don't know, crazy tricks? Or
let's
is that
put
what you're
this way.
For, you know, what's...
If we're jumping off a bridge, I'm going to let someone go first.
Okay, I'm just a little curious. Like, what's the risk level you're willing to take, you know, and then leading that into GRC?
I actually play it pretty safe. Like, I got to know what I'm getting into before I get into it, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't really just jump in and go for it.
Okay.
You're getting old.
That one.
It comes from all
the
entries.
Peanut gallery
wiser. How about old? Maybe wiser. I can't. It's the recovery time of when I get hurt. It's getting longer.
Oh, that is a bit. It's like a day longer each time,
because it adds on to the other injuries.
Huh.
It's like I have 20-year-old injuries that if I hurt something new.
Yeah.
It doesn't just hurt something new. It hurts like four or five other things that have been lingering there, just waiting to be hit up.
Oh, that doesn't sound so appealing, actually.
So, yeah.
I just was curious if that was something you ever took into consideration with, you know, GRC, if it's a risk in that regard.
No, not so much. I think if we were running some of the world, you know, the RX over there in Europe, those tracks are a lot faster, a lot more risk. Not that I don't want to go over there. It's just those are... That and rally is definitely more risk, you know. This, not so much. The speeds aren't there. I can pretty much slow the car down, maybe take a little hit if I misjudge something, but the car's taking a hit. I don't really feel anything. Some of the jumps I flat bottom landed, and you feel it a little bit, but it's like you know it's coming, so you can kind of
brace yourself
a little bit.
Cushion underneath. Yeah.
Nice. Well, we appreciate you taking the time on air.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good luck tomorrow. You had a great run today, and hopefully we can see some more of it.
It's going to be a good week for a good race for Subaru. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Becky.
All right. All right. That was Bucky Lassick on GRC Live Radio with myself and Kate Osborne. Always good times on GRC Live Radio. You know, you get we're trackside with some of the best drivers in the world and some of the most notable action sports guys. And I tell you what, they've all got their own unique personality. And I think really in GRC Live Radio, we've been able to showcase that and kind of let, people get a feel for who these guys really are behind the scenes, as you saw with Bucky and Brian. But, before we went to the best of GRC Live Radio, we had, I told you guys about a little torque news that's happening, and really four major announcements coming out of the Torque Series. First and foremost, Monster Energy stepping in as the title sponsor of the Torque Series for next season. Red Bull has been with Torque for a long time, and I don't know if, and this is totally reading into things, you know, Red Bull all of a sudden, they're the title sponsor of Global Rallycross. And I don't know if, them leaving, I don't know if they left Torque for that. I don't know how it worked, but any way you cut it, Monster Energy is now, the title sponsor of the Torque Series, which, it's all good things having a major energy drink backing your series. I mean, now we've got obviously Red Bull Global Rallycross. We've got the Speed Energy with Stadium Super Trucks, Rockstar Energy with Lucas Oil, and, Monster Energy with Torque. So, I guess all the major energy drink brands are represented, and, all the major, short course stadium series, if you want to throw Global Rallycross in that mix, represented. So, Monster Energy going to do big things with Torque. There's no doubt about it. So congrats goes out to Torque for that. They also announced the 2014 television package is going to be on NBC Sports. NBC Sports, great network there. They're doing some amazing things on NBC Sports, covering some awesome series. So, we're just like wham bam, announcement after announcement after announcement with Torque. They also announced that we're kind of talking a few weeks back, but Crandon remaining exclusive to the Torque Series. I think we covered this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show a while back. Which means Lucas Oil will no longer be, we've heard these talks about, possibly Lors coming in and running Crandon in the Super Bowl event, and not happening. It's all Torque at Crandon. So, that squashes any of those rumors. Then we get the Monster Energy announcement. We get the NBC Sports announcement. And then Torque hits us with their 2014 tentative schedule. And I got to tell you, first off, starting out in California, we don't know the venue there. It's going to be in California.
You know, my honest to goodness thought, what was it? They ran in Lancaster a year or so ago for the very first Rick Husman Cup. I don't think it'll be that course. I think they'll run somewhere else. Where that somewhere else is, no idea. But I think that they will run somewhere else. The big news coming is their second event of the year. Their second event of the year is going to be in Austin, Texas. Now, one, Austin, Texas on its own is a great market, a great venue. Everything's great about it. But rumor is, and this is all rumor at this point, there's nothing been official announced that I know of, Torque going to be running the X Games. You know, so we're going to have supposedly off-road trucks at the X Games now. You know, I don't know what classes that would entail. You know, I honestly don't know. You know, but the rumor is this Austin, Texas round is at the X Games. I don't have official confirmation from anybody on that. You know, there's no official announcements on that. It's just says Austin, Texas on their website, and everything I've said just says Austin. You know, I think, you know, a lot of people think, oh, great, off-road trucks in the X Games. I know, you know, from a personal standpoint, you know, when you, there's lots of hiccups and hurdles there. I mean, they announced this NBC Sports television package, right? Well, if you're in the X Games, you're going to be on ESPN. You're not going to be on NBC Sports. So, one, you know, the Torque television package is out the window. You know, NBC Sports, it's not going to be, you know, nothing will be televised on NBC Sports that's at the X Games. ESPN holds, you know, pretty much everything. So, you know, that's the first hurdle. Second, everybody goes, oh, well, Monster Energy, that's going to be great for them being at the X Games. They can't be. Red Bull has a lock on any energy drink branding in at the X Games. The only thing non-Red Bull that can be had is basically helmet suits and vehicular branding. So Monster Energy would have zero place at the X Games. It's not like it would be, you know, that, you know, it's not like they would have trackside banners or anything like that. They're all going to be Red Bull. So Monster, you know, it's not going to happen as far as Monster Energy branding at the X Games go. And third, when you run at the X Games, it's not going to be, you know, Torque at the X Games. It's going to be X Games off-road. Torque and USAC are going to put the race on and sanction it. But at the end of the day, it's an ESPN X Games event put on by Torque. It's not a Torque event at the X Games. Big difference there. Major difference there. So, you know, this is all tentative, and I'm just saying, you know, for everybody that immediately says X Games, and I could eat crow next week. And don't get me wrong, I hope that off-road racing is in the X Games. It's a long time coming. It's a long time coming, and we deserve to be in the X Games. But I'm just saying that there's a lot of these little asterisks out there that nobody wants to talk about yet. And I'm just saying, you know, with the way this new Torque series is lining up, and I love it. I think Torque is going to be bigger and better than ever next year with these announcements that I've seen. But I'm saying this Austin, Texas venue, it could be, and think about this, they could be running in Austin, Texas at the same time as the X Games at a different venue. It could happen that way. You know, and just be tying in with the X Games crowd and trying to get people over to the Torque venue. I mean, it could happen that way. So for everybody to immediately, you know, assume that Austin, Texas is going to be the X Games, I'm just saying that Torque and the Armory are great people, and if anybody can fight and maneuver through these hurdles, it's the Armory. I'm just saying, you know, keep an open mind here. It's not done, you know, done, signed, delivered until you see the press release saying it. And I don't, you know, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that, you know, a lot of people have looked into this, and I'm, you know, obviously Armory knows what the heck they're doing, and they're going to make things work. But I'm just saying, you know, wait on that press release that says Torque in the X Games. And, you know, and a lot of times, you know, ESPN doesn't want to give out X Games medals for just anything. And if off-road racing is in the X Games, I can almost assure you that it's not going to be every Torque class. It's going to be like one. You know, it'll probably be Pro 2 or Pro 4. You know, they're not going to put, you know, three or four classes in there and give them all medals. I mean, ESPN holds those X Games medals close. They don't want to just give them out to anybody. So lots to think about and lots to look into as we, you know, as we get closer. But honestly, congratulations goes out to Torque on all this news. I mean, Monster Energy, their schedule, NBC Sports, all good things, great things for off-road. Torque definitely moving in an awesome direction. I'm very excited about it. As for the Baja 1000, obviously Baja 1000 kicking off this week. Those of you online, you're going to be able to find full coverage of it all over the net, multiple places. You know, I don't need to go out on a limb and tell you where to go. I'm sure you already know. But keep in mind, Tuesday, things kick off down there in Baja. That's tomorrow. Going to have some registration going on. But really, Wednesday is when things really get fired up. We're going to have qualifying for trophy trucks, Class 1s, and motorcycles. They're going to be qualifying starting at 9 a.m. Down there outside of Ensenada. Going to be exciting. And really, you know, if you're running the Baja 1000, you want to start up front. You don't want to be fighting your way through through a bunch of traffic. You know, race could be won or lost in qualifying. We move on to Thursday. We've got contingency rows. So if you're in, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, if you're in San Diego, make the drive down Thursday for the day. You know, it's only about an hour and a half drive from San Diego, and it's going to be, you know, you're going to be able to see the trucks up close and personal, the drivers. And I got to tell you, the wild man, Adrian Cheney, he's going to do his barrel roll, his patented barrel roll in the wash down there in Ensenada. So, you know, it's worth the drive just to see Adrian Cheney do this barrel roll. I got to tell you, I'm excited about that. I think it's about high time we get Adrian Cheney back on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. That's something I need to work on here in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, we've got contingency in the barrel roll going on Thursday. And then don't forget, the motorcycles are starting at 11 o'clock at night. We've talked about this before. 11 o'clock at night start time for the motorcycles. Then the car and trucks Friday, they kick off at around 9 a.m. They have the motorcycles a huge buffer, and starting at night, it's going to be just the opposite. Going to start at night, and then they're going to finish up in the day, whereas the car and trucks are going to start in the day, finish up at night. To be honest with you, you know, is it going to be advantageous? You know, I think a lot of it depends on the course and what are the fast sections. It's going to be you know, I got to say, though, it's going to be interesting to see the way this plays out. But anybody that's ever argued, you know, and you know who you are, you know, in desert racing circles about motorcycles getting in the way of trophy trucks are too dangerous, you know, that's done and over with. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, they're going to be out of the way. So, yeah, and then we've, you know, race day Friday, you know, and then things wrap up at some point on, well, it's going to be late Friday, early Saturday when, you know, probably late Friday when the motorcycles start finishing up. Maybe Friday afternoon. I don't know. This is a major loop race they're running down here in Ensenada. The cars and trucks, obviously, late on Friday night, early Saturday morning, they're going to finish up. And then it's I'm looking forward to it, man. This is going to be an epic Baja 1000. Obviously, you got the Vedosas. They want redemption from last year. B.J. Baldwin, you know, he wants to do it up again. And got to tell you, we've got 231 entries as of November 8th, supposedly estimated probably around 250 by race time. A pretty decent field, little less than normal, but you know, who knows? I mean, you know, it's one of those things. But yeah, it looks like we're, you know, this is going to be an epic event. You know, this is this is Roger Norman's vision, good or bad. We're going to see we're going to see Roger Norman's vision in this one. You know, we've been heard about it all year and what's going to happen. And, you know, it's sink or swim time. And we're going to see what the heck Roger Norman's got up his sleeve. Definitely one to watch out for and see what happens. Upcoming events, obviously the Baja 1000 all this week. You know, there's going to be coverage all over the internet. You know, that's a big one. We've got the Best in the Desert finale the first week of December coming up. We've got the Seed 9 Rally from Kingman, Arizona coming up. In a couple of weeks, so lots of action still on tap for off-road rally and action motorsports as these series finish up, you know, finish up their seasons and crown points champions. Give us a follow on Facebook, facebook.com/downanddirtyshow, at JimBeaver15 on Instagram and Twitter. Check out our website, downanddirtyshow.com, for all the archives. And I got to give a big thanks, Speed Energy Drink, Arizona Ford Dealers, Race Tech Seats, Blue Water Resort and Casino, UPR.com, and Casey Highlights for all the support. And once again, got to thank all, you know, for everything you guys do for this great country, everything you've sacrificed, their families, their friends, their loved ones, you know, and the guys that, you know, never made it back home to celebrate on this Veterans Day. Let's honor them today. This is Jim Beaver. And, you know, and thanks for listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Next week, episode number 100. I got to tell you, it's going to be big. It's going to be epic. You're going to want to be here. See you next week. Same time, same channel. And it's going to be game on.